Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for responding. I appreciate that. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to bring to you today a message from the Word of God. Today, if you can open your Bibles or your Bible app, you're welcome to do either one, to open and look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. We're going to read to verse 30. When I was in homiletics class in Bible school, it was before smartphones, and so like the rule of thumb is listen for the pages to stop rustling, and then you'll know that it's everybody's there, but smartphones have kind of changed that dynamic. So we're just going to assume that you guys are there at Matthew 11, and we're going to start there. And then Jesus said, "Come to me." I want to pause there for a minute. I'm going to pray, and we're going to get back into it. Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, we come before you today, and we are ready to meet with you. We want to hear from you today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would guide my words through this time. Allow me to describe and talk about what you would have me talk about. May all the other words fall away. Amen. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, "And then Jesus said, 'Come to me.'" Those particular words have been circling around my mind for the last few weeks. I keep on pausing at this spot. Obviously, there's more to that passage, as you can see in your Bible in front of you. 28 to 30 is a lot more than that passage that I just said that sentence. "And then Jesus said, 'Come to me.'" But those words kept on having to pause there. This is an invitation from Jesus, and it is the cure of our current state of being. Often I would read past this invitation to the clause that came right after it. And it says this, "And then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.'" And I would stand there and be like, "Hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord. He's going to take all of my burdens and all of my weariness away. Next." And I would keep going. I would acknowledge the fact that I'm weary. I would acknowledge the fact that I have heavy burdens, and I was excited to exchange them for rest. I thought, what a gift. What a gift for my heart. What a gift for my soul to be able to rest. I cannot believe that I get to exchange my weariness and my burdens for rest. Anyone else in? Like, do we want to exchange those things? Like, it doesn't sound like a very fair trade to change weariness and heavy burdens for rest, but that is what Jesus offers us. The problem that I have had, and maybe you can relate with me, is that I ignored the invitation from Jesus to first come to him. And I kind of did this attempt handoff drive-by of like, here's my burdens and my weariness, I'm off on my way, next thing. And I would try to experience that rest that he has to offer while I'm in the midst of doing all of these things. Our sermon series and our focus for this year is making room for people. Making room for anything means first ridding our hearts of the clutter that fills it. Right before Christmas, much to Dylan's dismay, I read a book, and it was called The Cozy Minimalist. It's a book about decor, and it's about a mindset that helps you to get rid of whatever is in your house and create a style that you love with the fewest items possible. So, the week before Christmas, one of the suggestions that they had was to empty out your entire room that you want to redecorate and, like, take everything out of it. The furniture, the curtains, the knickknacks, the pictures, the rugs, the whatever you can take out of the room, bring it out of the room. So I did. I moved everything out of my living room and put it in other places in my house. Now, I didn't follow the instructions exactly because you were supposed to leave it out of the room for a week And I'll tell you why in a minute. But I didn't do that because I didn't think that was fair for Dylan and for the festivities we were about to have in our home. So I just spent the day. But the idea is to take all of these things out of the room so that you can imagine the possibilities of what this room could be. It's so hard to visualize any changes that you want to happen when it's filled with clutter or things. In our homes, or in my home anyways, it just kind of, things kind of come in and other things don't go out, and then it just gets fuller and fuller and busier and busier. And that is maybe something that happens in our hearts. It was really nice to see the room empty. I had ideas and plans about what I could do with that room, and one of the things that I did, much to everybody that came into my house following that week, thought I was crazy, but one of the things is I decided that our living room, I really wanted it to be a place where we gather, and we have kind of this open concept living room kitchen area, and so I moved my kitchen table from my kitchen into my living room. But I had decided when I cleared the room, the purpose I wanted for the room was a place for people to gather. And my favorite place for people to gather is around a table. And so I moved everything out, cleared it out, and put the kitchen table in my living room. I believe that Jesus' invitation to come to him is an invitation for us all empty out our weariness and our heavy burdens and just be with him. It's such a beautiful invitation, and I love that this is an invitation just for people who have it together, or for people who are perfect, or for people who already are following Jesus. The invitation says, come to me all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I don't know very many people that don't have heavy burdens or aren't weary. Pretty much everybody I know and bump into, I can't think of a person that hasn't come to me with something that's heavy on their hearts. We all have that, regardless of who we are, what we're doing in life, what stage of life we're in, we all have that. And Jesus' invitation for all of us is that we come to him. But first, if we're gonna make room, so this is our theme for this, our focus for this year is making room, we first need to clear the clutter from our hearts and our minds and fill it with the most important thing. Maybe you're wondering what the most important thing is to be concerned about. I'm gonna get you to turn in your Bibles with me again today and look at Luke 10. 28 to 42. Jesus and his disciples have been doing ministry for a while. They had been confronted by teachers. They had been healing the sick. They had been teaching about the kingdom of heaven. They had been doing all kinds of things, traveling around. But as they traveled, they didn't actually have a specific place that were kind of their headquarters where they would go back to and they would arrive at and they would feel like they were home. Instead, they traveled from place to place and they would stop at friends' houses or people that were interested in learning more about what Jesus had to say. And they would go over to their house and they would spend the time, whether it was a meal or the night or in different things. And they would get these places and these places to rest. In the particular story in Luke 10, Jesus has just brought his 12 disciples to his good friends, Mary and Martha's house. I'm not sure how he knew Mary and Martha, but all I know is that they were good friends of Jesus. I know this because later on we hear about the story of Lazarus, who is Mary and Martha's brother who died, and Jesus wept over his death and raised him back to life again. And we also know this because of this. They showed up unannounced with 13 people for dinner. That's... I mean, I don't know if that's something you would do to a good friend or maybe because, I don't know. Anyways, complicated. But anyways, he shows up with his 12 buddies, and I don't know if they expected to be fed or Martha was just like, oh no, come on in. We'll feed you. Don't worry about it. When Martha sees that Jesus has arrived, she goes into meal prep mode. And at this particular time in history, it's not exactly how it is today. You don't run to the grocery store and pick up an extra salad or call in some takeout. Meal prep in the time of Jesus had a lot more details, had a lot more planning, had a lot more purpose behind it. It was a very laborious task with lots of steps and hard work to make sure that meal got on the table. If I could paint a picture for you, kind of how I see it in my own imagination, this is kind of what I would visualize it as. Jesus arrives with his house, at this house with his buddies, and Martha offers to feed them, and then orders her sister Mary to bring everyone some water. Mary dutifully grabs a big jug of water, and she carries it out and starts handing out cups, but as she does so, Jesus starts teaching. Mary pauses. She puts the jug on her hip and kind of stands there listening. So much to take in when Jesus is teaching. She just pauses and then realizes the jug of water is getting kind of heavy, so she sets it down and listens. And then she sits down at the feet of Jesus and listens. Everything else fades away. Mary is unaware of anything else but Jesus' teaching. The clutter is removed, and she has made room for Jesus. Martha, on the other hand, is doing what she believes is making room for people. This is her way to make room for people. She is busy in the kitchen. She's trying to prepare a meal for more than 13 people who just showed up out of nowhere without the help of her sister. She's running around like a crazy person, stirring the pots, chopping the vegetables, stoking the fire, trying to get this meal on the table with I don't know how many other details that she's trying to do, but there is work to be done and she needs to get it done. She is trying to make room for people, and this is the way that she knows how to do it. It's important work. Without Jesus being fed, how can he continue going on doing ministry? She's not pausing for a second. She's just going to get this done. She looks over, sees that Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Doesn't she know that there's work to be done? Surely she'll see me running around like a crazy person trying to get all this stuff done. Won't she see me? And she keeps going, getting more agitated as it goes along. There's work to be done. We're making room for people. Let's get these details in place. This is the other reason why I know that Jesus was good friends with Mary and Martha, because Martha goes over to Jesus. Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. Whew. The level to which I feel Martha's question and her deep desire is deep within my soul. I feel it because I live it. My tendency is the same as Martha. I want to make room for people by doing all the things, getting all the details, running all the programs, making sure the attendance lists are done and that the volunteers are in place and that the children have their craft supplies. And let me tell you, the details list is endless. Emails, writing cards, meeting with people, all of the things, doing all of the work, getting the details out there. All the work that's required to make room for people is a lot of details. It makes one weary and carry heavy burdens. So let's see Jesus' response to Martha. My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing for you worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. My dear Martha, I see you, and you need to know that your value is not in what you do. Your contribution to the world is so much more than the details you try so desperately to hold together and accomplish. Mary discovered what is needed. She has discovered the one thing that's needed for making room for people. She slowed down and made room for Jesus first. Now, Jesus doesn't say that he doesn't care about the details or that details aren't important to him. I know for a fact that they are important to him. If we look at the world around us, we can see different ways that details are very important to God. We can see that through our heart that beats, our lungs that expand, the fact that the ocean actually has an edge and that the water doesn't just keep coming onto land, that it's kind of contained. The fact that we are exactly the right distance on Earth from the sun to get the right amount of heat and not enough cold, and that it's, the world spins on this axis. All of these things are details that God cares about. And if the God of the details that cares about such things as those, can we not trust that he cares about the details going on here in our hearts? We have to clear the clutter of the value we place on the details and remember what is the most important thing when it comes to making room for people. First, make room for Jesus. Maybe, okay, let's move on. Maybe you're not a details person and you're sitting there going, okay, I can see how some people might struggle with that. I deeply do, and so it very well much resonates with me. But maybe that's not how you operate. Maybe you see the world differently, and that's good. I love that God made us all different that way. And although you can see that's true for some people, it isn't true for you. Like I said, my heart can use a wash, rinse, and repeat of that a lot before I get it. So there's another area that brings clutter into our hearts, and it's the area of comparison. So if you guys can look in your Bibles again, Mark chapter 9, verse 33 to 37. This is another story where we find Jesus and his disciples staying over at someone else's house. Whose house? I don't know. But they're settled into a house in Capernaum. And as they do, Jesus, as they settle in, Jesus casually asks them what they had been discussing on the road. The disciples would walk everywhere they went. That was their mode of transportation. They would walk from town to town, and they would walk all over the land of Israel. And as they walked, I can imagine that they would talk and joke around as you and I would. They would probably have similar chats about friendships and families and home life and hobbies and what their favorite food is or what they were hoping to eat for dinner, all of those kind of things. And they probably also had conversations about their hopes and their dreams. It was one of those conversations surrounding the idea of hopes and dreams that Jesus is asking them about. So when Jesus asks them, "What was it you were discussing?" None of the disciples answer Jesus. They maybe looked down at their feet or side-eyed their friends or kind of looked off in space. Nobody really wanted to tell Jesus what they were talking about because they had been caught talking about their status. They had been arguing about which one of them was the greatest. These guys were the ones that Jesus handpicked to take the gospel to the world, that were there to visually see what he taught and what he could do and the power of God and hear about the kingdom of God. They were those people that Jesus picked that way. And here they are arguing about who among them is the greatest. Now, it's not as common maybe that people overtly, maybe in your world, I don't know, I don't see it as much, but maybe you do, where people outright say, I'm the greatest, right? Like, I'm pretty sure, like, I am the greatest person ever, or at least the greatest that will do this one thing. I don't really think that we do it that way, but we do it in lots of other ways. It's a way that our mind is. Making room for people means ridding our hearts of the clutter that fills it. There's a saying where we don't, maybe we say it as much, I don't know, maybe we don't, but there's a saying that goes, keeping up with the Joneses. And if your last name is Jones, everybody's trying to keep up with you. So it's basically a way of saying that we're going to compare and measure ourselves against other people and what they have on their performance, maybe their possessions, maybe their ability to keep up with the latest trends or whatever. And that used to be a way that back not that long ago, it was just what we could see on the outside. Maybe they got a new car, we can see it in their driveway. Maybe we can smell that they're making steaks in the backyard and like, you know what, I'm going to make steaks and chicken and lobster. I'm that great. I don't know. Like we used to just be able to, what we could see on the outside was this idea of the greatest. You know, we would measure ourselves that way. With the rise of social media and presenting our lives to the world through our screens, giving people a picture of who we want them to see, the greatness game has taken on a whole other level. We're busy comparing ourselves and trying to be good enough. So our conversations might not be exactly who's the greatest. We might not say that exactly, but I think you all know in your hearts what it is that you're comparing yourself against, who you're trying to be, what you're trying to beat. The clutter becomes do better, be better, climb higher, consume all of our mind and hearts. And you know what happens when we do that? It clutters us, and it leaves very little room for Jesus and other people. Jesus had a cure for this clutter too. Put yourself last and serve everyone else. He said it like this: whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. Now you need to know this is not a call to false humility, or it is also not a call to add another thing to our to-do list of things we need to measure ourselves against, being a servant to everyone else. This is a call to heart change. It's about putting aside what the world calls fame and fortune and place our measuring stick, whatever that is for you, and success at the foot of the cross and leaving it there. When in Matthew 18, 1-4, Jesus was asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus answers them like this: I tell you the truth. Unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In both stories, in Mark 9 and then again in Matthew 18, when Jesus was asked or talking about the greatest in the kingdom, Jesus both times used the example of children, calling them into his arms and using them not only examples but as a way, a route to understanding the kingdom of God. Why do you think that is? I've been thinking about that a lot. And I'm not sure I fully have an answer for you today. But if we want to lay aside the clutter of the hustle culture, of the do more, be better, we need to change something. And somehow it's tied to welcoming children and becoming like children. It's in there somewhere. Now, one of the things, as you know, Dale said that I was a director of children's ministry, so as on a weekly basis, daily basis, I get to interact with lots of kids of all different backgrounds and styles, and it's probably like the best thing in my entire life that I get to do this and get to hang out with a whole bunch of kids. And it's just such a joyful experience. And I know some of you are like, nope, no thank you. Working with children is not my thing. And that's okay, that's okay. I do love children, but there's something so much more. This call to welcoming children and becoming like children isn't whether or not like you like working with children. It's just about understanding something that they get and maybe we lose as adults. I know for a fact, because I've watched it happen, that when we bring children up here onto the stage and they sing songs, something happens out there. I see you. Your smiles get a little bigger. You get a little more excited. Some of you will even do actions to a song. It gets exciting in the room. There's something filling about that. And I know that there's something that shifts in our hearts when a child comes to you with a play teacup and says, "You want to play tea party?" Who can say no to that? Maybe some of you, but most of us can't. It's just something that happens. We stop. We get present in the moment and we're there. Maybe there's kids that are kicking a ball around and they kick it to you. You're going to kick it back. You're going to get in the moment. Or at least I hope you do. Something happens in our hearts when we're around kids and just seeing them be present like that. Now, I wish that this could just be a call for more volunteers for children's ministry, but I promise you it's not. It's biblical. Read it. It's in there. I wouldn't turn away new volunteers, but this is so much more than that. This is about our hearts. It's about seeing beyond the clutter into the joys of the day ahead through the eyes of a child. A young child doesn't open up Instagram in the morning and measure themselves against the things that they see on there, force themselves to drink a green smoothie or something because it's supposed to make them better. A young child doesn't come home from work beating themselves up because they missed that impossible target that they were supposed to meet in the matrix of all the things they're supposed to get done in a day. Instead, a child will invite their friend over, much to their parents' dismay, no matter the state of their house. If you have a clean room or you don't have a clean room, if your kitchen is in shambles or not, a child will invite a friend over. They just want to hang out with their friend. That's just what you do. I go into the nursery sometimes and they're eating these cookies, and I've been offered so many slobbered-on cookies, you wouldn't believe it. Kids are ready to share with you in a moment's notice, even if it's all that they have. They're ready to share a moment with you, even if it's a slobbered-on cookie, which I usually say, no, thank you. Thank you, that's so kind. A child will jump into a game regardless of how much time they have or what else is going on. They have this amazing ability to see the moment and let go of what doesn't matter. The imperfections of interactions is what makes their invitation to play and be with them so endearing and irresistible. Making room for people means clearing the clutter of expectations and status measuring. Jesus' invitation in Matthew 11 is clear. Come to me. It's where the beginning of our journey towards making room for anything else is. So let's get practical. It's all fine and good for me to stand up here and tell you to go to Jesus, but it's kind of an abstract idea. What does it even mean, and what could it look like today? It was much easier for Mary. Jesus was there in her house, and she sat down and listened to him talk. But what about for us today? What does that look like for us? So the first thing I want to urge you to do is to physically sit down and go to the one place we can always hear words of Jesus. And that's the Bible. There is so much value in spending that personal time in the Word of God. Today, I purposefully did not make any slides, and I'm sorry for you visual learners, but I didn't make any slides because I really did want you to open up your own Bibles. Sometimes we forget that we have it right there at our fingertips. We have it in the most accessible way that we've ever had it. It's on the thing that we cannot leave home without. It's on our cell phones. You can download the YouVersion app, which is a Bible app, and we've been using it here as a church. It's kind of a movement that we're going towards where you can get some information about our sermons and different things that are happening. So if you have the YouVersion app, I'm just going to spend a minute telling you about it because it's an amazing thing. I've been using it for years. It has the Bible in it and many different versions of the Bible that you can flip between and kind of see all the different ways that it's worded. There's also devotional plans in there that you can follow. And also, on Sunday mornings, if you're looking at your Bible app right now, YouVersion, down at the right-hand corner, there's something that says More. And if you click on that, and then you click on Events, our church will pop up. And once you pop on the church, just click on that, and then everything that I've preached on, all the passages are all listed right there for you, and you can add your notes from the sermon right to there. So reading our Bible has gotten that much easier. It's right here. Or, one thing I've been trying to do a lot more lately is to break up with my phone. I'm trying to use it less. And so I've been pulling out my physical Bible and actually spending time with that paper and marking it with a pen or a pencil. That's a practical way that we can sit down and meet with Jesus. Open your Bible and read it. Making room for people means making room for Jesus first. We can do that by reading the Bible, and that helps us to clear the clutter and prioritize Jesus first. Once we have cleared the clutter in our hearts of all the details, by meeting with Jesus first, we can then make room for people Jesus style by turning from our sins and becoming like children. Again, what does this actually look like for us? The first thing that we need to do is stop the comparison game and start just playing more. Let go of trying to keep up with all the things that we try to measure as worth and value, and start holding up relationships without strings, invitations without fear of judgment, prioritizing play over the hustle of being more, doing more, having more. In November, we sat down as a staff, and we decided that our focus for 2020 is going to be making room for people. And when we did that, we made up a lens to look at how we would decide what things we're going to do this year. That lens includes things like taking down barriers, having intentional gospel purpose, creating space for people of all ages to gather and connect, give space for others to bear fruit, build community and fellowship, and to use our resources well. We've outlined kind of the major big events that we want you guys to know about, and they're on calendars out in the foyer and on our website of things that we want you guys to make sure that you come and connect over. Because this year at CRBC, we want to slow down enough to clear the clutter of our hearts. We want to follow the ways of Jesus and create space for people to become committed followers of Jesus Christ without a long list of to-dos or expectations around what that should look like on the outside. We all carry heavy burdens. We all hold weariness in one way or another. And together we want to shift our culture from carrying those things around with us as a badge of honor to letting it go and bringing them to Jesus. He has invited us to come to him, all of us, to come to him, no matter what you think of yourself or the things you've done or what you believe about me or this church or anyone else. Jesus has called you to come to him. Bring your heavy burdens and exchange it for rest. I have two immediate practical ways for you to do that. The first one will be for you in a few minutes when we celebrate communion. This is an invitation for you to come and meet with Jesus. It's an invitation for you to come and remember and celebrate that Jesus died on the cross for your sins so that you can have a relationship with God. It's the whole reason that we can come to him and find rest, because his gift and his sacrifice. Today, feel free to clear the clutter. And as you come to the table to take these physical elements to remind us that Jesus died for us, you can remember that you're coming to him. The second invitation that I have for you today is, as you can see all around the room here, you might be wondering what all of these strange things, why we have a couch in here and why there's bulletin boards and all this kind of stuff up here on the stage with me today. Today from 3 to 5, and then also tonight from 7 to 9, and for the next two nights, so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we want to open up this space for you to come and meet with Jesus, to pray with him. Put aside your pursuit of the details and all the other things and exchange it for rest. These prayer stations are set up as a place to pause and quiet your heart before the Lord. They're an invitation for you to come to Jesus. Remember how I said earlier about how I cleared out my whole living room and I took everything out and I wanted to see what I intentionally wanted to put back in? That's what these prayer nights will be for your heart. Come and meet with Jesus. Remove all of the clutter and see what he has to say for you. Making room for anything first means ridding our hearts of the clutter that fills it. And then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." That's our theme verse for 2020. That's what we want our culture to be here. That's where we want our hearts to be at, in this place where we are coming to Jesus and meeting with him, letting go of our burdens and our weariness, and finding rest. May you find the strength to release the details and burdens to our God, who cares about the details and is able to hold them. May you find the courage to let go of the things that you feel called to measure yourself against and learn to come to Jesus as a child would. And may we learn what it means to make room in our hearts for all of the things, for Jesus first, and then as he leads us to others.